Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 and 9M FY26 results conference call of Monarchia Coated Metals and Industries Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask the questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ronak. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors, I welcome you all to the conference call of Monarchia Coated Metals and Industries Limited. From the management team, we have Mr. Karan Agarwal, Whole-time Director, Mr. Mahendra Babu, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Tushar Agarwal, Senior Vice President. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Karan Agarwal. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to connect with you and share an update on the progress of Monarchia Coated Metals and Industries Limited for the first nine months of financial year 2026. This period has been characterized by strong business momentum, disciplined execution, and a focused strategic approach. On behalf of the management, I warmly welcome you to our Q3 FY26 earnings conference call. I am joined today by Mr. Mahendra Babu, our CFO, and Mr. Tushar Agarwal, Senior Vice President. We sincerely thank you for your time, participation, and continued trust in our long-term growth journey. The first nine months of fiscal 26 have been encouraging for Monarchia Coated Metals and Industries as we continue to reinforce our position in the value-added coated steel segment through consistent performance and expanding capabilities. Our diversified portfolio of pre-painted and galvanized steel products remains well-aligned with the evolving customer requirements and market opportunities. Q3 of fiscal 26 was another resilient quarter for us. Our consolidated total income fell by 9% year-on-year to rupees 190 crores due to a planned plant shutdown undertaken for technology upgradation and transition to Alu-Zinc coating technology. However, EBITDA increased slightly to rupees 19 crores, reflecting a 7% growth, while EBITDA margin expanded by 144 basis points to 10%, highlighting overall improvement in operational efficiency and product mix. Net profit surged by 47% to rupees 7 crores year-on-year, translating into a net margin of 4%, which is up by 146 basis points year-on-year. Earnings per share also increased by 9% year-on-year to rupees 0.73 per share. For nine months of FY26, total income rose by 15% year-on-year, touching rupees 580 crores, while EBITDA increased 67% to rupees 77 crores, with a margin expansion of 356 basis points to 11%. Net profit grew by 241% year-on-year to rupees 35 crores, translating into a net margin of 5%. EPS stood at rupees 3.49 per share, which is up by 151% year-on-year. Looking ahead, we are entering an exciting phase of growth with multiple strategic initiatives progressing well and remain firmly on track. During the current quarter, the aluminum-zinc coating technology upgrade was successfully commissioned, resulting in a 36% increase in capacity, touching 180,000 tons per annum, and positioning us amongst select players in India with 100% aluminum-zinc coating capability. The second color coating line is expected to be commissioned in early FY27, and it will expand overall coating capacity by a staggering 174%, touching 236,000 tons per annum. further strengthening our value-added product portfolio and expanding customer reach. In addition to this, the 7 megawatt peak captive solar power plant is targeted for Q1 of FY27 and is expected to offset approximately 50 to 55% of the grid power consumption, delivering meaningful energy cost savings while advancing our sustainability agenda. In parallel, the company has partnered with Salesforce for implementation of a new age customer relationship management system. This initiative will enhance data-driven customer engagement, improve service quality, and support higher sales conversion and customer retention. Further reinforcing our outlook, the company is supported by a robust export order book of approximately 350 crores, while the domestic market too has entered its peak demand season. Both these factors combined, and with newly commissioned capacities and improving product mix, these form strong tailwinds for strong visibility and accelerated growth and superior performance in the quarters ahead. Thank you for joining us today and for your continued confidence in Manasya Coated Metals and Industries Limited. We will be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Samira, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. You are audible. Hello? You can proceed ahead with your question. You are audible to us.
Sir, first of all, congratulations on setting a new milestone. That you have commissioned the new facility. Hello.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So, sir, I have a couple of questions. First is, for how long was the shutdown in the facility?
You may go ahead and ask all your questions, please.
Okay. And the second is, as we know that the metals prices are rising, so since our raw materials are zinc and now also aluminium it is, so how will it impact our raw material prices? How will it impact our margins? And the third question is, since now India, Europe, FTA has been done, and I guess 50 to 60% of our revenue comes from Europe. So how are we going to benefit from this, and what is the demand outlook from Europe?
Thank you very much, Samira ji. Very interesting questions. Firstly, the period of shutdown that we had to incur for the technology upgrade from galvanizing to alu-zinc coating technology lasted for close to 35 days, and this shutdown allowed us to completely upgrade all parameters of the line, including some critical parameters, critical equipment and non-critical equipment, including a general overhaul of the entire facility, and we were able to restart the line within the period of 35 days. I'm also happy to tell you that it was a very good achievement by our entire technical team to deliver the first steel coil produced with excellent quality, where we did not face any losses of trials and yield losses and rejections, etc. As far as your second question goes, you are absolutely right. There is rise in metal prices across the board, including non-ferrous and now even ferrous. So zinc and aluminium typically have been operating at levels of between $2,700 to $2,800 per ton over the last 6 to 9 months, whereas currently we are seeing a situation where both zinc and aluminium have touched levels of between $3,200 to $3,500 per ton. And this does have immediate and direct impact on our raw material cost. However, I think, you know, the product that we are selling, the finished product, which is alu zinc coated steel and pre-painted steel, are, you know, basically linked to raw material price increase and decrease, where we as a producer are able to pass on the cost increases of raw material to our OEM customers, export customers, and other domestic customers almost immediately. When I say that, it means within the same month or maximum in the next month. So with this kind of a short time lag, we don't, you know, we don't face any kind of a hit on our books, and our margins remain intact. Your third comment was regarding the India-EU FTA, which has recently been signed. It is being called the mother of all deals. And surely, we are quite bullish about the, you know, long-term benefits that will accrue to our company as a large exporter of value-added products to the EU. So far, the FTA has not outlined any specific incentives or direct benefits for steel product, but the Commerce Minister, Mr. Piyush Goyal, as well as the Trade Commissioner from EU, both specifically commented during their interviews and during their speeches that steel is an integral part of the trade and it will have a preferential treatment for India when it comes to deciding quotas, when it comes to giving default values of CBAM and other, you know, incentives. So these things are yet to unfold and we will find out. I think between April to September, everything will become clear. We are very hopeful.
Okay, sir. I had one more question. That how is the demand outlook from Europe and as well as the domestic markets?
Well, demand outlook from our traditional export market of European Union remains very strong. If you see our, you know, H1 numbers, we had touched an export of about 85% or over 80% if I'm right. And in Q3 as well, we have touched an export of over 65% for a whole of 9 months. We are at 67% export revenue. So it talks about continued, you know, orders with long-term customers and repetitive orders. And for the next quarter and foreseeable, you know, quarters in the next fiscal as well, we are having a strong export order book with enough demand to service our, to take care of our capacities and continue this export momentum that we have. As far as domestic demand is concerned, I think after a very long protracted period of dullness, right from, let's say, from June to November, the domestic market was quite dull in terms of demand, in terms of absorption, in terms of construction related activities, which really picked up from December onwards. After the, you know, the festival period, and we are seeing the, you know, sharp increase in demand in offtakes by regular customers, by pre-engineered building customers, by sandwich panel customers. And I think this demand kind of scenario, a high demand kind of scenario will sustain in the domestic market strongly until July for sure, because it was already on a back burner. So I'm very hopeful for domestic demand I think the export momentum will continue to sustain.
Okay, sir. That's great. That was helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from KS Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. You are audible. Please proceed with your question.
Yes. Good morning. Good morning, Karanji. Firstly, I just wanted to understand what kind of disadvantage in duties or, you know, any other restrictions do we currently have when compared to other competing countries, if we have any. And the margins have increased very beautifully in this quarter. So is it more due to better price realization or due to better product mix, as the non-painted oil sales was, you know, very low in this quarter due to the shutdown?
You're absolutely right, Ashwini ji. So I think your overall question, if you're asking about for 9 months, yes, the margins have improved considerably if you compare numbers to the last fiscal. And I think the reason for this is a healthy combination of both factors that you just mentioned. One is that we have been able to fetch a much higher price realization because of our selling strategy of higher exports and lower domestic. So, getting entry into highly quality conscious and very conservative customers in Europe who don't usually give entry very easily. This has been a journey for us over the last 4 to 5 years, where we have been able to now achieve a position where we have relationships with very strong and large European customers, and all of them OEMs who demand very good quality products, and we are able to deliver as per their expectation of quality, of consistency, of regular timely deliveries, etc., ultimately fetching us a good price realization. So this has been one of the factors. And secondly, I think we have been able to utilize our capacities in a much healthier manner. If as compared to last year and this year, our capacity utilizations have all been, on the color coating line, it has been upwards of 95%. And on the galvanizing line, it has been upwards of 80%, at least for the first half of the year. For the Q3, yes, capacity utilization dropped on the galvanizing line because of the plant shutdown. So, yes, better product mix, better selling strategy in terms of geographies, and healthier capacity utilization, all three have contributed to the margin expansion.
Yeah, and the comment on the duty?
Right. So your question was, does India have any advantage over other competing exporting countries? Am I right?
No, I was actually asking, like, right now, do we have like any disadvantage or, any restrictions?
No. So I think this question is basically, I would say, it cannot be answered holistically. It has to be put in context to which exporting country you are referring to. I'm assuming that you are referring to the EU right now, because we are largely exporting to Europe. And for Europe, India does not have any disadvantage when it comes to competing countries such as, Korea, Japan, or Vietnam or Turkey. These are pretty much the competing countries that India has to pitch its product against. China is definitely out of the race because they are having heavy anti-dumping duties, due to which their products don't manage to reach European shores. And I would say India has a level playing field amongst all of them. Rather, I would say India has probably a few advantages, such as capacity. The countries that I mentioned, like Vietnam or Turkey, which are the biggest two competitors, have limited capacity to export. They are largely, their capacities are largely created for indigenous consumption or their own markets. So India has good capacities which allow exports in a sizable manner.
Okay, great. Just last question, the 35-day shutdown which you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because the press release was on 7th January, if I'm not wrong. So does it mean that 25 days approximately were in Q3 and 10 days were in Q4?
No. I think the press release probably came a few days late because, we didn't want to release anything to the press or to the investor community before we achieved fully stable operations, and things in project stages are always a little delicate. So, but to answer your question, I would say the entire shutdown period was in December itself, in Q3. So Q4 of current fiscal would not have any impact of the shutdown.
That's like great to hear. Great to hear.
Yeah.
Last question. I mean, in the current quarter at least, because the pre-painted capacity will go live in Q1. So do you think there will be some margin degrowth because we'll be selling a lot of, even though we'll be selling ELUZYNE instead of galvanized, but the pre-painted quantum will be a little less?
I don't think you have, understood the capacity that we're adding. Basically, Ashwini, what we do is we are currently producing ELUZYNE and then transferring the same ELUZYNE coil to our color coating line to produce pre-painted ELUZYNE coil. This is the flow of material. And currently, our capacity of producing ELUZYNE is more than our capacity of producing pre-painted ELUZYNE. Hence, we will actually be debottlenecking by adding our second color coating line in Q1, which will allow us to fully absorb the ELUZYNE production on the two color coating lines and produce ultimately the highest value-added product in a much larger manner, which is pre-painted ELUZYNE.
Yeah, I got that. My question was specifically regarding Q4, that because in Q4, the pre-painting capacity is much lesser than the ELUZYNE capacity.
You're right.
So in Q4, will there be any impact on margins was the question. Or will it actually increase because of, migrating from galvanized to ELUZYNE?
Right. Correct. So I think if you are asking about Q4 performance, expected performance of Q4 versus the previous three quarters, I can tell you that definitely the migration or transition from galvanized product to ELUZYNE product naturally brings in its own advantages and margin expansion because ELUZYNE as a product and pre-painted ELUZYNE as a product sells at a premium and costs us lesser to produce in terms of raw material costs. So in that context, yes, it theoretically it should be a situation which allows us to command higher margins. It all depends on the market scenario. Secondly, yes, in Q4, there will be a bottleneck where we will have more ELUZYNE capacity than pre-painted ELUZYNE capacity. But, the reality is that this particular quarter, which is January, February, March, is also the first quarter for our ELUZYNE line where we will be ramping up capacity utilization gradually. It will not be on the first month itself, we have gone for 90%, 95% capacity utilization. So I don't think that the bottleneck should be a very large problem to handle. It will be, yes, we will have to sell unpainted product, which I don't think should be a very large problem to tackle.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Nishita from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello.
Yes, Nishita, you are audible. Please proceed with your question.
Earlier you had mentioned that post this IUCN upgradation and the solar plant commercialization, we can have EBITDA margin growth of about 40%. And you also mentioned that we can commission the solar power plant from Q1 FY27. So when do we, like, how do we see this margin upgradation happen? Is it going to be immediately or is it going to take time to ramp up?
Hello, Nishtha ji. Yes, thank you for your question. Yes, the upgrade from galvanizing to alu-zinc, along with the benefits of solar power replacing grid power, will lead to a strong expansion of margins, because it is leading to reduction of cost and leading to putting us in a value-added product space. However, the margin expansion will not happen immediately or, you know, instantly. It is a process of us, you know, being able to sell our new alu-zinc product to our customers effectively and successfully. It will be a process of trials, the commercial orders, and then followed by larger orders. So I think, you know, we have to go the whole cycle. We cannot jump to the last, you know, the last stair. We have to climb the whole ladder. And definitely, I'm very optimistic that it will happen in the course of the coming fiscal. We should be able to see the benefits of both alu-zinc and solar power kicking in effectively and in a large manner in the coming fiscal for sure, quarter over quarter.
Right. And since we've like just commercialized the alu-zinc capacity, how much revenue do we foresee from that capacity in Q4 FY26?
See, technically, our capacity has grown by 36% on the alu-zinc client. However, I think it is at nascent stages of, you know, being commissioned. So I think Q4 of FY26 will involve a large portion of the quarter, you know, involved with stabilizing the line and ramping up capacity gradually. I think the complete benefit of this capacity increase would be felt again from Q1 onwards. For sure, Q4 will have the benefits of the capacity increase, but not to the full extent. It can be anywhere between 25% to 35% of the total benefit of capacity increase can be felt potentially in Q4. This is again a number that I foresee. It is not something that I am, you know, declaring as confirmed, but this is something that we can foresee because we are in the process of ramping up capacity right now.
Right. Okay, that is it for me. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Dhaval Jain from Sequin Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Sir, I just kind of missed out on the numbers that you gave on the plant shutdown. What was the revenue downside that we couldn't do because of the 35 days of plant shutdown?
Well, Dhavalji, the exact revenue loss is difficult to quantify because it's a combination of production and commodity price, both. So, I mean, if we just talk about, sales, we have dropped the sales. When we were forced to drop the sales because of the outage of capacity. And, you know, the total quantity if we are talking about, I will just give you some numbers. Hold on, please.
Yes.
Uh, Mahendra ji, can you please confirm the total quantity sold in Q3 versus total quantity sold in Q2?
Yeah, the quantity sold, total quantity sold in Q3 is 22,896 versus in Q2 it is 24,037. It's put together galvanizing and color coating.
Right. So I think with this, what you know, what is visible is that we had made a buffer stock of some galvanized steel coil so that our color coating operations remain fully functional during the shutdown period, which has led to a consistent at least the sales of pre-painted steel was remaining consistent without any outage. And in terms of production also, Mendelji, can you please comment?
Yeah. Sure. So production of the galvanizing line is 68% in the Q3, whereas it was 81% in the Q2. And color coated, it was 96% in the Q3, and the color coated was 100%.
Right. So, I think, Dhawalji, if you see the capacity utilization for the whole quarter dropped down to 68%. As compared to levels of upwards of 80%, 81-82% in the prior quarters. So this was the impact of the shutdown.
Understood. Sir, just a couple of more questions. I just want to understand what is the difference between the realizations of when we sell alu-zinc versus when we sell pre-painted. Is it to a tune of 15-20%?
The realization per ton that we achieve in pre-painted alu-zinc, if you consider both blended of domestic and export, should be in the range of about 83,000 to 85,000 rupees a ton. And if we see the realization of just alu-zinc product, it should be anywhere in the range of between 71,000 to 73,000 rupees a ton. So I would say close to about 13-14%.
Understood. Last one more question. Once our capacity increases of pre-painted to 2,36,000, in a capacity utilization of around 65-70% achievable for FY27.
I think theoretically and practically both it is possible, absolutely, because if we are at 65-70%, we are still utilizing about, let's say, close to 85-90% of our alu-zinc client production,
right,
which is a fair estimate and a practical estimate to go by.
Okay, sir. And the margins, of course, will keep on increasing.
Naturally, because we sell more value-added products, the margins should technically increase.
Right. Perfect, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Mr. Ronak, are you there on the call?
Yes, I'm there.
Just have a look into the Q&A chat.
Yeah. Okay, I'm looking.
A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question comes from the line of Ashwini Agarwal from Cas Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Just wanted a comment on the current liquidity situation and the funding plans for the future expansions.
On the current liquidity situation, we have very strong liquidity position with working capital facilities largely unutilized on the fund-based side. And on the long-term funding plans, I would say that we would like to keep a very good balance between debt and equity, where the company would not leverage the balance sheet too much for any of the upcoming projects. So it would be a healthy balance of debt and equity, largely supported by internal accruals, long-term bank debt, and any external participation would be evaluated need-based.
I mean, more, you know, in the sense of the upcoming pre-painting line and the solar project which we are undertaking. So that is already, I assume, planned for, and we don't need to raise any capital for both of those at least.
The financial tie-ups for both the second color coating line and the solar power plant have been already achieved. So there is no problem in both.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, as there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Karan Agarwal for closing remarks.
Well, I would like to thank you wholeheartedly to all the shareholders and participants and analysts who have participated in our earnings conference call for Q3 and 9 months of FY26. We truly value the long-term association and the partnership for the growth journey of our company, and would like to thank you once again for the support shown, and looking forward to touch base once again in the next quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Kiran's Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.